So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. And this morning, I put verses 3 through 11. We're going to look at verses 3 through 7. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And when you get to that place, if you're able to stand, I would like to ask you to do so as I read from God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope is for you, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this powerful reading from your Word. God, I pray today that you will speak directly to our hearts. Let everything come from your Holy Spirit, Lord, that comes from my mouth today. Let it be from you only, Lord. Nothing from my thoughts or my flesh or my own ideas or words. And God, we pray that today you will help us to look to you, God, for comfort in every situation and in every trial of life. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So we know that in order for us to be comforted, we know that we have to be going through a time of what's called trials or temptation or suffering. And I looked up the word, the definition to suffering, and it says the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. How many of you ever suffered or maybe are going through hardships, some painful times in life? Everybody has. So where does the suffering actually come from? Well, we know that when God created Adam and Eve, He placed them in the Garden of Eden, and we know that the Garden of Eden was a perfect place. There was no sin there. There was no suffering. And Adam and Eve, they were perfect. I mean, Adam was perfect when he was created. Then God created Eve from his rib. And we know that in the book of Genesis, that Satan came along. Now, God had told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of life. He told them, you can eat of anything else, but do not eat of that fruit. And Satan tempted Eve, and Eve gave also that fruit after she ate of it, gave it to her husband. And then they realized that they had sinned against God. They both realized they were naked, so they went and hid themselves from God. So already, there's suffering and trial started right there. So they're hiding from God, and God is walking through the cool of the garden, and He's looking for Adam and Eve, and He says, where are you guys at? Well, I mean, they're hiding, and Adam says, here we are, Lord, we're hiding from you. And the Lord's basically like, well, why are you hiding from me? And God knew what they had done. He wanted them to come out and confess it. And in the third chapter of Genesis, starting around verse 14, God basically told Adam and Eve that they were going to be cast out from the garden, that they would have to work the land, that they would have to toil, that there was going to be suffering. There was going to be pain. You know, women were going to have to bear pain with childbirth. And there's going to be a lot of hard times. And that's the thing about life today. So it started with Adam and Eve, and suffering and pain and toil and all kinds of things have happened from that very day. Nothing has changed. You know, God destroyed the world with a flood because man had gotten so evil and so wicked, and there was so much turmoil going on. God destroyed the world with a flood, and he saved Noah and his family because Noah was a man after God's own heart. He was faithful, and he trusted God. But guess what? There was sin still in the world, and there was only one answer. There was only one answer. See, and during that time of the Old Testament, people were never ever really able to access God. I mean, there were people who had a relationship with God, but we were not able to take our sins before God and ask for forgiveness until Jesus Christ came along. So with the birth of Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection, it gave us a place to where we could actually come into a relationship with God the Father, to where we could come into His presence, that we could have true fellowship. Now, Jesus said in the New Testament, in the book of John, He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now I want you to implant that in your mind right now. There's a lot of stuff going on at this very moment. We have the destruction going on from the hurricane. I've got family members who were right in the path of that thing. And yeah, I was concerned. I didn't worry, but I was concerned for their safety. But I prayed for them. I prayed for everybody in Florida. And there's a lot of things going on with the war and finances and sickness and disease. And there's violence happening all over the place. There's famines. There's no rain. We haven't had rain in Southern Illinois for what, a month now, or maybe a little longer? And so it would tend to shift our focus to suffering. It would tend to get our attention. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to get your eyes on what you're going through. He doesn't want you to see beyond that there is a hope, that there is a peace, that there is a place of comfort. The devil doesn't want you to experience that. If he can pull you away from God, if he can pull you out of that fellowship, and if he can get you all alone, and if he can keep you trapped in that one place, then he's got you stuck. And you know what? There are a lot today. There's a lot of Christian people who are in that place called stuck. They don't know how to get out and get past that. And God wants everybody to come to Him. You know, I used to watch Leave It to Beaver when I was a young boy. How many of you ever watch that show? That was one of the best shows on TV. And you know why I liked it so much? Because Mr. Cleaver, Ward Cleaver, he was the most gentlest father to Wally and the Beaver that I'd ever seen. I mean, these boys probably could have blown the house up, and old Ward Cleaver would have come to them. He would have just been so calm and serene with them because he wanted his boys to trust him. He wanted his boys to know that he loved and cared for them. And in every episode, that's what I saw. I saw a good family. And in the same way, that's how God is. You know, a lot of times we picture God as this mean, big God who sits on a throne just waiting to knock us down for the things that we do wrong. But let me direct your attention to the fact that the Bible says that God is love. God is merciful. God is peace. And do you know what God wants most of all? God wants you and I to come to Him every single moment of every day with the things that trouble us. You know what? When you go to God in prayer, God's not going to sit there and say, "Oh, great. Well, here comes Milton again with more prayers. Oh, who knows what he's going to say today?" Or, "Well, there's Keith. You know, who knows what I'm going to hear?" God's not like that. I've often wondered when we approach God, I've often wondered if God gets so excited when we come to Him and say, "Lord, In your presence is life. In your presence is love. In your presence is fullness of joy. And that's what I need, Lord. I'm going through some pretty tough stuff because I haven't had my eyes on you. I haven't been trusting you. I haven't been basking in the fellowship with you that I should be on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to confess this. On Wednesday, I let myself get so busy with everything else. I got up, actually overslept. I turned the alarm off a little early, and I'm guilty of this. I rolled over and thought, I'll just lay here about 5 minutes. I don't think anybody else has ever done that, have they? Nobody wants to confess it anyway. So I thought, I'll lay there 5 more minutes and I'll get up and I'll get busy. Well, when I woke up, we was about 25, 30 minutes ahead from where I wanted to be. And I flew out of that bed. I'd never got ready so fast. I didn't even get to do my devotion. I did the quickest prayer that I could while I was driving. And then the rest of the day, I just let the day take over. And I put myself in neutral. And I was just like, the hamster in the exercise wheel. You ever watch them things get to going so fast and they lose track and then they flop and they got no control and then they get flung out of it? I felt like that the other day because I got my eyes off the Lord. And by the end of the day, I was so flustered. And I had almost felt like I'd lost my peace. And the whole time, as I was driving back to the house, the Lord was speaking to my heart. And God said, all you had to do is come to me. I'm here. I'm here because I love you. I want fellowship with you. So I got, and I started praying. And when I got home, I sat down that evening and I started going over the sermon. And I text Laura. The sermon, that's when God started giving me these words for the sermon. And things started really coming out. And I didn't really know why, like I said, but I trusted the Lord. And then after abiding in the Word, after abiding in His presence, there was a peace that came all over my life. And all of a sudden, I was no longer thinking about the hurricane or the damage or whatever was going on. I trusted the Lord that He was going to take care of every need. But why is there suffering also still in the world? It's because of man's sin. We're separated from God because of sin. And the suffering comes from our sinful thoughts, our sinful desires, words, or the actions in our life. Even Jesus suffered in 1 Peter 2:21. I want to read that real quick to you. This scripture really spoke to me this morning. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Now I want you to think on that. Jesus suffered. Okay, why did Jesus suffer? Jesus suffered because He knew that you and I were going to be going through suffering in life. And Jesus wanted to show us how to live and how to trust God the Father. Now, in every situation, and I would think Jesus' greatest suffering is when He knew He was going to be arrested, led before Pilate, and then crucified, because Jesus went to pray. And He was so distressed that the Bible says His sweat became like drops of blood. And He even prayed to God the Father. He said, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but Thy will be done." So see, even in the midst of suffering, we should come to God. And when we come to God to seek that refuge like Jesus did, we should say, "You know what, Lord? There are things in my life, there are ways I want to live, but I don't want it to be my will, Lord. I want it to be Your will. I want it to be Your will." I talked to somebody this week that I've been praying for I've been praying for somebody to get saved. And this person mentioned to me, I thought I was going to do somersaults. This person mentioned to me that they watched a show about people who had died and went to heaven and come back. And this person made the comment. They said, oh, so after watching the show, she said, I could take it that everybody goes to heaven. I said, well, that's not really the case. And she goes, what? What do you mean? I said, well, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will get to enter the gates of heaven. I told her, I said, only people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have believed on Him and received Him in their heart and life, those are the ones going to heaven. And she goes, well, what about the other people? I said, well, the people who have decided to turn their back on the Lord and never receive Him and never believe on Him, they've made their decision to be eternally separated from God. And she sat there for just a moment and she was kind of quiet. And she says, so I would have to give my heart and life to the Lord then. I said, yes. Now, nothing else was ever said. But I'm so thankful that somebody that I've been praying for, and I just gave the situation to the Lord. Lord, you work on them. I'm really concerned for people's souls, but I can't sit and worry and brood over them. I have to give it to the Lord. And in His presence, I find comfort. So if Jesus suffered, I know I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to follow His lead. Jesus always turned to God the Father. Jesus always spoke the Father's word. He always spoke the word when He was in times of crisis or temptation. When the devil came to Him, Jesus spoke the word. And then finally, the devil fled from His presence and the angels came and ministered to Jesus. So you and I are going to suffer, but that's when we have to know that we've got to turn to God. We have got to speak the Word. We have got to know the Word. And when we start speaking God's Word out loud, I want you to know that the Word goes out and it does not come back void. God's Word is power. God's Word is life-giving. Maybe part of what I was going to preach this Sunday is this about speaking is going to come into play here. The things we speak, we need to speak life into our situations. We never know the outcomes, but God does, and all we can do is trust Him. And when we learn to speak the Word and trust God, it's going to be like those episodes of Leave It to Beaver. No matter what we've done, no matter how we've transgressed against God, when we come to Him with a repentant heart, and when we confess those sins and ask Him for forgiveness, the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God wants us there. That's why He created us, for fellowship. We were talking about that this morning, weren't we, Sarah and Milton? We were talking about fellowship this morning, why people don't come to church. They're getting so used to Facebook Live and everything else, or listening to stuff online, that they don't come to the house anymore. And it's so important. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And why is that? Because when you come together as a family, that's a chance to build up each other. When you shake hands and hug somebody and talk, doesn't it do something good for your heart? Yesterday when we were with family at the house after the funeral service, there was so much food, so much laughter, and good times going on. When I went home yesterday evening, my heart was full. I don't know if any of you ever been through that, but I'm telling you, I love family reunions. So what do I want to do in my life? I want to come to the Lord, and I want to give it to Him. I want to give everything to Him. So what is our hope? Our hope is God. We have God's mercy and grace. And in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read another scripture here to you. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Or let me start with verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Well, we have hope. We can come to God the Father through who? We were given an advocate, Jesus Christ. So do you know that Jesus, on your behalf, He is talking to the Father for us? When we are going to the Lord in prayer, I can just imagine Jesus talking to God the Father saying, I died for them. My blood has been shed for them. And they have believed on me. I don't know if that's what the Lord's saying. I'm not saying that's what His words are. It's just kind of an idea. But God has allowed us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to come to Him. We can approach His throne of mercy and grace. And no matter what we're dealing with, we have many of afflictions, but when we come to God, God is compassionate and loving, and God wants to take us in. Well, I remember one time when I was learning to ride a bike, I took the training wheels off, and we lived on a street that the sidewalk kind of went a little downhill. And I thought, well, I was going to be like Evel Knievel and get on that bike. I thought I was going to ride that thing like a professional. Well, I went down the sidewalk, tumped over on the bike, skinned up my leg pretty bad, was bleeding. And I was only maybe 5 years old. And I took off. I remember running to the house crying. Oh, I was crying. The pain. I thought my leg was falling off, basically. And when I run through the front door of the house, well, my dad was at work, but there was Mom. And you know what Mom did? Mom said, what's the matter? What's the matter? And I told her what happened through all the tears and the crying and the trying to breathe. You know how that is. You got to have that drama in there as a kid. And Mom says, come here. Just get in my lap. And I remember climbing up in my mom's lap, and she wrapped her arms around me, and this is what she done. She just squeezed me tight, and she loved on me. Then she did one of the worst things in the world. She took me in the bathroom and put Mercurochrome on that dude. And when she put that Mercurochrome on there, I thought, boy, she just done me in. But anyway, but what I remember was the love and the comfort. And it put me in a place where I felt safe. I was in Mom's arms. Even greater than that, I can go to God the Father, and I'm in His arms. I'm in His presence. I'm in His care. And thank God, the Father's not going to take me and put Mercurochrome on the wounds of my sins. I'm glad for that, because Jesus covered those on the cross. We are showed God's mercy on a daily basis. Do you realize that? When we sin and do wrong and we ask for forgiveness, just like I read in 1 John, He is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. It means He wants to, but He's waiting on us to come and do it, do our part. And once we are forgiven, you know what we got to do? We got to walk away then and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I'm going to live now. I'm going to forget about what just happened, and I'm going to go on. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, with the rest of my day. Now, God gives us comfort for two purposes. One, He comforts us so that we can comfort others. Have you ever been through a trial or gone through something pretty deep, and have you ever asked God, why am I going through this? Why? Well, I have. Many a time. God, why did I lose my job? God, why is my child sick? God, why is my family broken? God, why is there so much suffering in the world? Well, we're going through these trials because God the entire time is saying, I want your eyes on me. I want your faith and trust to be put in me because I will lead your life. See, God has the answers for everything. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, lean not, let me just do the first part of verse 5, lean not on your own understanding. Now, those are pretty straightforward words. That means don't trust in your own thinking. Don't trust in your own judgments. Don't trust in your own righteousness. You're going to get into a lot of trouble. Hey, that's right, Milton. Amen, brother. Boy, how many times have I done that? I'm surprised the Lord hadn't said he is from Arkansas. He don't get it. But God allows us to suffer because at some point, he's going to put somebody in your path that's going through the exact same thing that you just went through. And you know why? Because he's going to put you up with that person or people so that you can tell them about your experience and what God did for you. Because that's why we need the fellowship. I never know who I'm going to encounter on a day-to-day basis. But I know when I'm going through something, boy, have I ever learned through this hard head of mine to quit questioning God about it and just lean on Him and trust Him. Because every time I've gone through something, God has put somebody in my path. And God has allowed me to help them. And what fellowship, what joy divine it's been. And secondly, He wants us to put off the self-confidence and self-reliance. That's the second reason. We always rely on ourselves, it seems like. Hey, God, I've got this under control. I got all the answers. I got it figured out, Lord. Lord, let me introduce my plan to you. I want you just to take a look at it. And God says, that ain't good enough. That ain't my plan. And I tell you what, there's been some times in my life that I said it enough that God said, okay, fine. I'm just going to sit back here, do it your way, and see how you tell me later how it turns out. And nine times, well, every time basically, I won't say nine times out of ten, every time that I've relied on myself and trusted in my own ways and my own methods, I have come back crying to the Lord. God, I've messed up. How many times we use God like a vacuum cleaner? Open that closet door. Okay, God, I got a mess in my life. And we plug into Him and get the dirt cleaned up. And we think, oh, wow, that looks good again. Put Him back in the closet and shut the door. All right, time to go live life again by my own self. And then later on, happens again. And God keeps saying to us, when are you going to give me 100% of your trust? That's why Proverbs 3, 5 says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, everything of your life, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. God, in God, there's fullness of joy. In God, there's life. So, yesterday as we were going through that funeral, yeah, we were sad. We were sad because Ivo's not here. And he wasn't at his house yesterday. And that's different. It is. When they're not there, there was pictures, there was memories, and boy, was it the greatest. And it hurts. Our hearts ache because he's not here. But you know what? He's in the presence of Jesus. And all I could keep thinking was, Lord, I'm going to keep going through this journey with you. Because I know that all my loved ones that are in heaven, I'm going to see them again. So, while there's momentary suffering here, and I want you to know this, our sufferings here are temporary. When we get to heaven, there is no more sickness, no more death. And you know what, Effie? I'm so glad I'll never have to walk into another funeral home and go to work again. Because that's what I do, work at the funeral home. And I know God put me there for a reason, to minister to those families. And it breaks my heart to see them go through the pain that they go through. But these sufferings are temporary. They're not eternal. That's what we need to focus our thoughts on. God's eternal. God's love is eternal. And God, there's no darkness. There is no darkness in God. So these things won't be there. So I know when I lay down this old body here, or if I go up in the rapture, either way, however it happens, I know that when I stand before the Lord, I'm not going to have that cross trudging behind me anymore. I'm going to walk in and I'm going to receive everything that God has for me. And oh, what a day it's going to be when I get to see Him face to face. Trusting God with everything when we're in the darkest valley. Trusting God with everything. Because you know what? He is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. So when you go into that valley, remember Jesus is the light. And you look to that light. And as you go through that valley, you just keep saying, Lord, I don't know the outcome, but I trust You. So whether it's financial, whether it's sickness, whether it's family situation, something at church, work, whatever, your business, Father, I don't know the outcome, but You do. I'm going to trust You with it. I will trust You. Because when you do that, it takes all the weight off of you. It really does. When I got saved and I put everything at the feet of the Lord and I chucked off all that sin, all that old dead man, all that yuck, that flesh. And I took on the newness of life, the love of Jesus. Oh, I was different. Boy, am I different today. And I thank God for that. But with our life, we are to imitate Christ. That's where we learn to really live, by imitating Christ. And I've had people say to me, now, Brother Jim, we're human. It's a little difficult. Well, yeah, it is difficult. Yeah, we're not perfect. Jesus was the only perfect man to walk the face of this earth in flesh. He was. But He still endured temptation. He still went through all kinds of stuff. And I wonder if there were times when Jesus almost wanted to throw His hands up with the disciples and say, "What? How am I going to get through to you guys?" I wonder that. I don't know. But He was human. He would get tired. You ever try to deal with somebody and finally go, oh my goodness. Why in the world is this person so hard-headed? I bet Jesus might have done the same thing. But still, we have to rely on the Father. We have to imitate Jesus. But when we come to God and put it all before Him, we are going to experience a comfort like we've never felt. Because see, everything with God is eternal. It's never ending. God's never going to kick you out of His lap and say, okay, you've done enough now. When God knows you're ready, I think He just helps kind of ease you back down and say, okay, I'm with you. Keep walking. Keep doing. Keep plugging along. I'm here with you. Because the Bible says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now that gives me a lot of comfort right there. In the darkest of my days, I can honestly tell you He's never left me. And He's never, never put me out there alone. He's with me.